The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him and was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them back into the abyss. Now on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter those. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with Jesus, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of life.
Let every man have his breath. Praise the Lord.
So I have a question for you to ponder this morning. And that question is, what is it that keeps you from living life fully, knowing that you are a loved and forgiven child of God? Is it self-doubt? Or maybe something that you've done or didn't do that somehow you feel is unforgivable? Is it a health issue or an addiction? Is it the squeeze or strain or stress of relationships or work or financial burden? Is it questions about God or faith or the church? What is it in this life that prevents you from living out the truth that you are a loved and forgiven child of God? We're told in our gospel narrative that as Jesus entered the region of the Gerasenes, he was confronted by a man who was possessed by demons. This man was suffering from massive seizures and had to be bound. Yet those shackles and chains couldn't keep him, couldn't restrain him. He wore no clothes, had no home, had no family to take care of him, and he didn't even have a name anymore. When asked what his name was, he was defined by the term legion, which was a reference to the number of demons that possessed him. He lived, if that's what you want to call it, among the tombs, in a place of death. Well, Jesus met him and commanded those unclean spirits to come out of him. And they begged him not to have to return to the abyss and asked for permission to be sent into a herd of pigs. So Jesus granted them that permission. And all the pigs charged down the hill into the lake below and drowned. And as they did, the man sat calmly at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. Now we're told the pig herders and all the townspeople responded to this event with great fear, and they begged Jesus to leave. Freedom, even from the worst oppression, can feel very threatening and dangerous to some. Now, most biblical scholars believe that this gospel lesson is not only a healing story, but it's also a very pointed political commentary about the oppressive Roman occupation at that time of the land, and how this occupation and this oppression was destroying the hearts and minds of the people. Now, there's plenty of military imagery and references in this narrative that the first century listeners would understand. For example, that name of the man, Legion, was a unit of 6,000 Roman soldiers. Other Greek words and phrases in this text echo words that are used to describe armed battle or political imprisonment. So for early Christians, the story about an exorcism was packed not only with spiritual, but also social and political significance. We don't talk too much about demons or exorcisms today. Our contemporary scientific minds typically explain demon possession as mental or physical illness of some kind. Exorcisms are more the stuff of Hollywood horror films, right? Yet we also know that evil is real. We see and experience evil in our world all the time. Those things that keep people bound, that hold people captive, those things that are destructive, those things that try to steal our identity. In her book, Amazing Grace, author Kathleen Norris suggests that the demonic is not something paranormal or outside of oneself. Rather, she says, demons are an extension of ourselves. They are within us. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, we can often keep our demons well hidden, can't we? They may even be so well hidden that we don't even recognize they reside within us. Or maybe we become so comfortable with those demons and with the way things are that we don't even consider we're being held captive, or acknowledge the destructive power these demons have over us, and the way that they harm our relationships with others and our relationship with God. When the man from Gerasenes meets Jesus, he asks him, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" This is an important question for us to ask ourselves too. What does Jesus have to do with me? What impact does Jesus have on me and my life? From this gospel lesson, we learn that healing is not only personal, but it's also social and political. Social and political in the sense that it changes how we live together as a human community. How we live on this one big earth together as brothers and sisters. We know through Scripture that Jesus desires to set all the children of God free. Free from the powers that destroy that fullness of life that God has breathed into us. Free from not only our personal demons, but also the social and political demons of each time and place. How many people in our world today are like this man from the Gerasenes, haunted by trauma and tortured by memories, but have no one to care for them? How many people today, like this man, are unsheltered and inadequately clothed because of social or economic forces over which they have little control, even no matter how hard they try? How many people today are imprisoned, regarded as barely human, locked away, excluded, cast out from their communities? How many people today have lost their identity or are at risk of losing their identity because of addictions, no longer knowing where their addiction ends and their own selves begin? Like this man from the Gerasenes, how many people today are separated from their family because of governing authorities, held captive, and denied the opportunity to have a better life? How many communities throughout our world today are still bound in fear by oppressive occupying forces? Just as Jesus came to the Gerasenes and set this man free, he comes to us today with a word of life, with a word of life to set us free. Free from whatever keeps us from living fully and freely as human beings created in God's image. Even though many resist this, even though many find freedom from the Legion too threatening or too frightening or too inconvenient, those whom Jesus has healed know that freedom, the liberating love of Christ, is always good news. It's always good news. It's good news even if that freedom for someone else feels a little threatening to us, to our way of living. Because the freedom of our brothers and sisters in Christ is always good news. Just as Jesus didn't give up on that man living in those tombs, he doesn't give up on us either. He comes again and again and again to us to set us free. To free from whatever holds us captive. To live as beloved children of God that God created us to be. He meets us in these baptismal waters where our old selves are drowned like those pigs in the lake. And we're washed with forgiveness. We're washed with forgiveness and reborn as children of God. Christ names us and claims us as God's own children. And then Christ sends us out to go back into our communities, to go back into our world, and declare just how much God has done for us. To set free those who are still held captive. Christ sends us out with a word of life, that life-giving breath of God, so that we can go in peace to love and serve the Lord. This is who we are. As children of God, as people of Christ, this is how we become a living thank you. Amen.